So Joey, if you wouldn't mind to start off just introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about the Facebook group.
Yes, my name is Joey Only, or that's what they call me, and I live in Wells, British Columbia, here 4,000 feet above sea level. And I started a group called Interior Weather and Wilderness Watchers about 6 years ago, partly because of a perceived need for more reporting on the area, partly because I have a history as a storm chaser and a passion for meteorology. You know, there's this thing that someone said to me when I first got here, too. And I was looking at the sky and said, oh, look, it's going to do this in the next couple hours. And they said, you'll never figure the weather out here. And I said, well, it doesn't just happen randomly. There is some science as to why things happen, you know, as if just in the mountains, this place where reality has its own rules.
People do talk about wells that way.
I set to prove everyone wrong that I could indeed figure out what's going on.
So when did your passion for weather start? You mentioned your background in storm chasing. When did that begin?
Well, how this came about was when I was quite young, I had a real close strike with a lightning bolt when I was probably my son's age, about five. And, you know, it just set me terrified for a long time. And in the part of Ontario where from there, about 100 kilometers north of Lake Ontario, we get a lot of severe thunderstorms just randomly any old afternoon, and it's part of the summer condition there on the dry line that we tend to live on. This sort of nerd that I couldn't stand that I grew up with, he wasn't a nerd, he was more like I don't know how to explain him, and it's not important to you, he's just the one person in school and it wasn't because he was a bully, or I just didn't like him. And one day he was sitting on the bus saying, oh, you're scared of storms too. Yeah, I hide under my parents' bed. And I was just like, ugh, I don't want to be anything like you. So I started kind of challenging myself to go stand outside and sit outside and watch the weather and learn what's going on. And that's how eventually I started putting myself out there more and more and more and figuring out more of the science of what I was actually seeing, you know, as a 16-year-old and realizing, like, hey, a mile a second isn't the speed of thunder. It's going to be the speed of sound is 333 meters or so a second. So I was just learning these things, learning how to use my AM radio to triangulate the static interference from lightning strikes and learn by observation what kind of static was cloud to cloud and what kind of static was a straight ground shot. This kind of led me to getting struck by lightning pretty good a second time, and not necessarily directly in the head, but being in the strike zone and getting a pretty good ride out of it. And, that just kind of lit me up. That was just an awesome experience. I started paying more and more attention, following, chasing, trying to be there when things were happening. And then as a musician, as I traveled across Canada, I was able to do that in many provinces. And in fact, we'd be hanging around southern Alberta for a few weeks, and we'd go chase a couple tornadoes between gigs. And this was not unusual for my musicians, right? So I self-taught, but definitely, you know, the tools of science are our tools to understanding the greater world around us.
Yeah, so you mentioned observation as a pretty important part of your learning process. What are some of your other resources? Where do you go for information?
I use a whole host of things. As you might, once you sort of get to that level, of course, the Weather Network is just a great resource for most communities. It's gotten so much better over the last 10 years with its localized forecasts. I find Environment Canada, since the Harper government cut so much money out of it, doesn't have great reporting, unfortunately, although its maps are still pretty useful and its weather warnings are good. Some people like to use windy.com. My favorite is to use air traffic control maps because the pilots are the ones who really know what's going on, and same with marine navigation maps. If I'm really interested in what's going on out in the ocean, but generally not that interested. oh, look, it's a big low. It's coming this way. That's all I need to know. I'm not a sailor.
Hmm.
But, you know, and then there's of course, tools we can have in our own house, different instruments that we can use for observation, such as, you know, your thermometer is the most obvious one. Simple things like when you're driving down the highway and you happen to have a thermometer in your truck and you realize it's 0 degrees, oh, the road might be icy. It's these small connections we try to make with data to make safer choices in our day. And, of course, I have a whole bunch of instruments of my own that, as I work in wildfire in the summer, are pretty handy for finding humidity of the air and things like that.
What are some of the cause and effects that you find most interesting that maybe people aren't aware of? I mean, you mentioned, you know, if it's zero, then the roads are probably going to be icy. What are other things that are maybe less intuitive that you've observed over the years?
Oh, I see it all the time. I mean, this morning I put a post on my own Facebook page just saying, we've had a fair bit of snow up here the last few days. I watched 10 snowmobile trucks drive in a matter of 60 seconds and, you know, it's a town of a few hundred up here. And as I watched all day, they keep coming, and I'm just wondering how many of these people actually have avalanche transponders, how many of them have actually checked the Avalanche Canada website and seen, like, oh, the conditions are moderate to severely bad right now in certain levels of the mountain.
Hmm.
That's universal across most of BC right now. So anybody playing in the mountains should probably know what the conditions they're playing in. A few weeks ago, we had someone who had to be rescued here. I don't know what exactly the weight of the character was, but he went way off trail and got stuck and was unable to physically himself get back. His friend left him, was waiting in the parking lot and got tired of waiting, drove back to Prince George. The guy was stuck overnight out in the mountain. And, you know, it's these connections, again, like, you don't have the physical ability to be out there, my friend, and I could tell by the state they found him in, didn't have the knowledge how to survive when stuck for a night on Yanks Peak.
Hmm.
And here we are in a COVID crisis, and people are making these decisions still. So, you know, my friends in Search and Rescue in Quesnel, they're the ones who will have to deal with that if something else happens. But here's another connection for you. When that happened, it was myself who was giving observations on the ground here for flight. We were expecting freezing rain, and the helicopters didn't want to launch until they had a credible weather report from the area.
Hmm.
That was me. So, you know, once again, you just start finding yourself as an amateur meteorologist. I used to be famous for my music career, and it's now I go to the store and people say, hey, you're the weather guy. And I just hope that some of the things we're saying over the years about lightning safety and getting out of the trees when it's windy and, you know, hoping these things just start to sink in that safe decisions can just really, you know, and just knowing and paying attention to the signs.
Mm-hmm.
So we do talk in our group about clouds and what they mean. And I feel like I've educated a lot of people and made a difference that way. They're able to now themselves use these tools.
Yeah.
And that's important.
And what do you think accounts for the success of the group? Why has it resonated with so many people?
Well, I mean, it's Canada, right? So the weather is the number one conversation topic that's just neutral.
Hmm.
Everyone wants to talk about it because it affects so many aspects of our lives. The same way if you live in Oklahoma during tornado season, people are talking about the weather. It's an easy thing to get people passionate about. So there's that. There's never any fighting or argument. People don't know where to turn. There's this sort of mistrust of the weatherman, you know, like, well, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, and partly because they don't understand what's being told of them when they watch a news report.
Hmm.
That, you know, we know for 48 hours this prediction is going to be pretty good, but by next weekend, well, you know, we can't tell you exactly how much rain is going to fall where you are. We can tell you that there's a bunch of misery moving through the province in general. So I do speak in generalities a lot because I'm trying to speak to a large, body of people from all over the province who live in different microclimates and arid regions. And here I am up in the mountains where it's, you know, if it's raining here, I know it's not snowing anywhere else.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I have to be somewhat vague in general, too, because, you know, I can't speak to everyone's situation every day. They have to take the effort to check the weather themselves.
Yeah, for sure. And have you noticed a change in how your members engage with the page over the years?
Not a whole lot. There's just more people now as it's grown and grown. So, I mean, there's the annoying request to join every day from bots that, you know, that are from Malaysia or who knows where. And we just get flooded with these member requests. But that's not really the membership. We've had some sort of science deniers who have just outright kicked from the group eventually, who are, you know, like, I'm not going to get into with people whether climate change is real or not.
Right.
It's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about what the current science is. And if we're talking about that, then it's a given. This is the situation of the climate as it is. And we assume it is changing, and it's apparently doing that. So we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about your weather in your backyard. We've had people try to come on and talk about conspiracy theories like the HARP project changing our weather. And yeah, we know that we can manipulate weather to a degree, but we're not going to blame a thunderstorm on the government. You know, like, that's not what we're here to do. We're here to promote safety and educate people on not just the weather, though. We're interior weather and wilderness watchers. So I try to talk about when there's landslides, and of course that's often accompanied by weather that causes those conditions. Or we talk about, hey, the bears seem to be awake. It's spring. Try to talk about, you know, because it's not just a whole package. There's this here on Earth, and then there's the weather above us. You know, they intermingle. There's the natural world. And for most of us, the conditions of the road are the most pressing and relevant thing with the natural world they have to deal with every day.
Are your members mostly Wells or Quesnel-based, or what's the kind of reach of membership?
We have people from as far north as the Yukon, because the interior region of the Yukon is somewhat related to BC. It's, you know, northern BC especially, but we do have people in northern Washington State and Idaho as well that are in the group, because often what's passing through there is on its way to the Rockies here, and some Albertans. We have a number of storm chasers of repute. We have a couple meteorologists, including one from the Weather Network, who doesn't ever say anything, occasionally likes my posts or when I share his videos off of Weather Network. Seems to appreciate that we're doing that, and he seems to have produced more and more content for BC as we've given more avenues for that to be disseminated.
Oh, interesting.
So it's been kind of a nice relationship there. You know, we have a number of members who are from Quesnel, of course, including some of our moderators. One is a geologist, and another is a radio nerd who, you know, can triangulate lightning strikes with his equipment, or tell you how many airplanes are flying in the region. So we have an array of talent as well, that sometimes when an event happens, we're lucky to have Angelique there, her company, Tenerex Geoservices. She has a seismograph. So when we've had earthquake talk, there's been events in BC. She's had a moderate reading of some sort or larger, and has posted the pictures of the data. And that's cool. You know, we're offering something that way that's hard to come by.
Yeah. And what content tends to generate the most activity?
Certainly a photograph of some sort that, or a dire weather prediction. You know what I'm saying? You know, the group really took off in 2017 when I'd predicted maybe 5 or 6 days before the thunderstorms hit that we were about to have a severe fire episode in British Columbia. And I was like, it's going to happen sometime around Friday afternoon. Everyone started getting ready. So people started sharing that, because you're sharing alarming things and you're taking a risk when you do that. But, you know, everybody who lives near trees, have your travel bags packed and be ready. And sure enough, that storm came through and lit, you know, a series of storms and lit a couple hundred fires. And the next day, we had hundreds of people wanting to join the group because they'd seen the shares already, and it was a matter of, hey, that guy was right.
Hmm.
Well, it's just, you know, common sense. You're looking at the long-range forecast and saying, hey, there's no rain, but a cold front going to slam in. We're going to have thunderstorms, and they're going to be dry. You know, and it's, people don't know how to look at that data when they go to the weather network and understand it. So we try to give them that.
Yeah, so you touched on that a little bit. There's a lot of responsibility in sharing more dire, clear-cut predictions like that. How does that factor into what you post when you post it? How certain do you have to be?
I figure very certain because, you know, it's a matter of pride, but it's a matter of being right. So to me, I have to be certain. And I'll clearly say we'll see how this plays out. You know, I'll use vague language like that. You know, but sometimes it's just cut and dry. But if it's, you know, we share warnings from Environment Canada, those are dire predictions that are, you know, being made, like this is happening or about to happen.
Right.
And we don't have to feel bad about whether or not they were right or wrong, you know, in the end. Because we're just sharing, you know, Government of Canada public service announcement. Or
yeah.
Same with, sometimes I'll share Avalanche Canada reports or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, you just try to back it with data.
Yeah, so in your mind, is this Facebook group community building, public service, something else, a combination of all three? What function does it play kind of esoterically in your mind?
Well, yeah, it's a combination of all three. I'd like to take it to another level, I suppose. It's been very kind of me to put so much effort and energy out for so many years. I would love to imagine building a website where I could post, say, videos about that are actual weather reports. Like, here, Dr. Joey Olney here today, and let's go to the weather report, you know, kind of thing. And even find some ways to generate revenue with the content and make it more widely accessible so it's not just bound by Facebook and it's code of conduct, its rules, its people it invites in. It's, we'll never shut the group down, don't get me wrong. I just think it's a real weakness to have such a strong thing, but a foundation of only one service provider, that's Facebook. That has to change. So, I mean, it's a community service. It's a hobby. It's a mental health release for me. I feel like people out there, if they could know what I know, we'll make different decisions, and I feel better about myself for that. And, you know, who knows where it could take me. I have a long history in radio, and someday I'd love to be a weatherman for real.
And it sounds like you're also making the tools to better understand the weather and wilderness circumstances to the broader public, which is pretty important as well.
Yeah, I think people make different decisions when they, you know, again, they could look at the thing and look at the website in the morning of the Weather Network and see a thunderstorm icon and still decide to go out and hang around in the forest for the day out of contact with civilization and maybe be in the wrong place. And what we know from our observations as a group is that BC has destructive wind events, sometimes even tornadoes that come in these thunderstorms, and you don't want to be in the forest when that happens. You don't want to be in the lightning striking areas. You want to make safe decisions. So many people who work in the forest check into the group in the morning and see, hey, Joey's saying there's going to be thunderstorms this afternoon. Don't be fooled by the blue sky this morning.
Hmm.
You know, get to your truck if you hear thunder. Just these kind of reminders that I'm putting out, I hope that it saves lives. The beauty of it and the sad thing of it is we'll never know how much effect we really had.
Right.
You know, because it will be things that didn't happen. People who made the choice to not go out.
Yeah. So maybe to wrap up, I could tap into your wealth of knowledge for a second here. So Prince George has had unseasonably warm weather for the past little while. I think all the snow is mostly gone on the streets here. Can you make a prediction for what it's looking like kind of moving forward in this region?
I'm not really willing to in the long run because I feel like we've been at this place before with the jet stream where, okay, which way is it going to go? Hmm. Are we going to end up with a real snowy winter now? Is it going to run north? And we're going to get the Pacific Ocean and all the anger that it seems to be warm this year. It seems to be throwing a lot of moisture off. So, but then a lot, the last 5 years, we've mostly found ourselves on the dry side of the jet stream, you know, and especially this last 2 years, you know, until more recently, we found the winters were cold and not that snowy at all. We were finding ourselves on that Arctic side of, so I'm just not really sure which way it's going to bend right now. I'm unconvinced of either prediction I've seen. Hmm. I mean, 2 years ago, they said, of course, being a wildland firefighter, you know, I probably want some work. You know, they're saying BC is going to be the king of heat this summer. And I said, well, wouldn't that be nice? Well, I'll be rich to my other firefighters. But, you know, the reality was that the jet stream didn't cooperate whatsoever. We never got that southern heat. And it rained most of the summer. So you try to make a long-range prediction, but you're now with this jet stream that seems to just do whatever it wants, and I think that's part of climate change, is this the variability of it. So I was in doubt about BC being the king of heat. To me, though, I mean, we're in a pretty warm pattern, although in a couple days from now, we're going to see some actual clear skies and cold, and we'll be on that north side of it and see how long that stays for, right?
Sometimes
we could be... months at a time. But, you know, last year we didn't have very much snow here in Wells until mid-January, beginning of February, and then it dumped. And we had something like close to 40 feet measured at Barkerville.
Wow. Well, Joey, Dr. Joey Winley, thank you so much. The Facebook group is Interior Weather and Wilderness Watchers. You can submit an application to join the group on Facebook. Thanks, Joey.
Yeah, thank you.